Hare Krishna. On behalf of our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple's Sunday Festival. A day when an extended family of devotees from all parts of Bombay and sometimes from many parts of the world especially come together to pursue the highest perfection in life. Savai pungchang parodharamo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoitiki aprati hatha yayatma supraseedati. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches that the supreme occupation for all humanity is the loving devotional service to the Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted by any type of selfish concerns in order to completely satisfy the self. Every living being is searching for happiness. That is something we all have in common. Not only all classes of human beings, but all species of life are seeking pleasure. It is our constitutional nature to seek pleasure, because we are part of Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. But Krishna tells us in Gita, Yehi samsparasha jabhoga dhuka jonaya evate atyanta kanta konteya nakteshuramate buddha. That what people are seeking in the name of pleasure, in the form of temporary sense enjoyment, is the source of pain. Why? Because it is temporary. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam tells that the highest goal we can strive for is the highest pleasure, Krishna Prem, pure love of God. That is only to be understood through service to the Lord. And real satisfaction is to the degree our service is unmotivated or uninterrupted. How many people in this world today understand this truth, that real happiness can only be experienced through undivided, unmotivated, unconditional, loving service to the Lord? Due to lack of this information, so much cruelty, so much anxiety, intoxication, and frustration, because we are seeking what we are looking for in a mirage. When a person is starving in the desert, they're desperate for water. And it is that desperation that causes a person to see things that are not what they appear. Maya is translated as that which is not. Maya does not mean that this entire creation is an illusion, as some people profess, because it is an energy of the Lord. How can we say it is an illusion? Maya is when we see something to be what it is not. If we see a snake to be a rope, and we pick it up thinking that it will be of some assistance to us, that is Maya. You're thinking it is a friendly rope, but it is a serpent that is about to strike you. Or when we think a rope to be a snake, although the rope can help us in so many ways, we're very much afraid and run away from our friend. That is Maya. And in this desert of material existence, actually, material existence is a paradise for those who see everything in truth, in relationship to God. This material world becomes transformed into the spiritual world. Thakur Bhaktivinoda prays, when I come home to my house and see my family engaging in the service of the Lord, I am entering into Goloka Vrindavan. This is the experience. But when we're looking for pleasure, not in reference or relationship to our true self, then this world becomes like a desert before us. And we're desperate. It's not a matter of who is rich and who is poor. Everyone is desperate for pleasure, for relief from the agonies that come upon us. And in that desperation, because we want it so bad, we begin to hallucinate. And sand looks like water. And we run with whatever little energy we have. We strive to achieve that mirage. And mentally, we think it will satisfy us. Mentally, we're so convinced that it's water that we'll go through great efforts to achieve it. And even when it's in our hands, although it's hot sand, because the mind so much wants to believe it will satisfy me, we're feeling refreshing water. And we drink it. And at the beginning, it may even taste like water. That is the power of the mind. As one writer has said, the mind is a thing of itself. It could make heaven into hell or hell into heaven. But realistically, that sand only increases our thirst. Therefore, the Bhagavatam tells that if we want real happiness, true happiness, the formula is very simple. We have to learn how to love. Not a love that is limited to the temporary body and relations we have with this body. Because that will end within a few years. And it could end at any time. padam padam yad vipadam natesham. This is a world of many uncertainties. This is not a pessimistic ideal. It is a realistic conception. Because without realistic conceptions, we do not know what to really invest our energies to strive for. Real happiness is to love. And the truest, purest love is the love of the soul, our essence, our true and eternal identity. That love of the soul finds its fulfillment in reuniting this great propensity with our source or with God. The Srimad Bhagavatam compares Lord Krishna, or whatever name one may call upon the Lord, as the root of the tree of existence. When we place the water of our love on the root of the tree, then it is naturally and spontaneously distributed to every part of the tree. When there is love of God, there is spontaneous love for every living being. There cannot be anything else. Why? Because we see everyone in their relationship with ourselves and with God. Universal brotherhood or sisterhood can only come about when we recognize the common mother and father. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna is the seed-giving father and the nourishing mother of every living being. In Bible, it is said to love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. That means total absorption. And to love your neighbor as yourself. If we do not know ourself, how can we love anybody as ourself? And if we do not know God, we cannot know ourself. To love your neighbor as yourself is the natural consequence of loving God. It is the testimony, the evidence of one who loves God. Is they are instruments of kindness to everyone. So it is for this purpose that devotees from many directions come on Sunday to this temple, especially to help one another to come closer to our cherished goal. To chant the holy names of the Lord, which is the Yugal Dharma, the process that has the greatest potency to cleanse our hearts and awaken the essence of what we want in life. And to hear the philosophy and teachings of the Holy Scriptures, and to hear how great personalities have lived by these principles to set examples, and have written beautiful books and poetry and spoken so many words for that purpose. Actually, for the great devotees of the Lord, their only purpose in this world is to assist the mission of the Lord. The mission of the Lord is compassion. That's the only thing the Lord does in this world. In the spiritual world, he is enjoying divine pastimes for all eternity. But the Lord descends again and again to this world simply for the purpose of showing compassion to all of us. Other words, why? The Lord performs his lila in this world to show compassion to us. So therefore, the true devotees, they live in this world according to their occupational duties, according to their natures, for that purpose. So to hear about their lives and what they have given us, to hear about their love for Krishna, is one of the most purifying and important topics to discuss within our human society. So many things are being discussed. So many subjects are being promoted. Muneyasaru prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprasno. Suta Goswami told the sages of Naimisharanya that your questions to me are glorious because the subject matter of your questions is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the answers to your questions are meant for the ultimate benefit, the supreme welfare for all humanity. And we see that throughout the ages, in all parts of this world, spiritual science has been revealed through dialogue, through people asking questions and receiving answers from self-realized souls, or those who repeat the words of self-realized souls. And every one of us can do that. We may not be self-realized, but we can repeat the words of the self-realized souls. And to the degree we're striving to follow those words ourselves, then those words can manifest through us with great potency, a potency billions of times beyond our own, to create transformation, enlightenment, and joy in people's lives. How is it possible that humble, insignificant souls can do that? That is the greatness of God, that he can empower his little instruments to do wonderful things. Yesterday was the disappearance day of one such great Vaishnav. With your permission, today I would like to speak very briefly about his life and sing some of his songs and discuss some of his writings. Do you grant me permission? Or would you rather take prasad? I didn't hear anything to my second proposal, so I will speak something. Lochandas Thakur, one of the great saints of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, we would like to sing one beautiful song that was very, very dear to the heart of our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. He sang it many times. It is a song expressing love and gratitude to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who is Krishna and Balaram, who appear in this age of Kali as the essence of all avatars, to give love of God in such a simple and accessible way. In Atlanta, Georgia, when Srila Prabhupada saw the predominating deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he was very deeply moved. Srila Prabhupada was very, very much pleased and overwhelmed with satisfaction to see the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda being worshipped so enthusiastically with the devotion of the devotees. And in Atlanta, one day before class, Srila Prabhupada looked at the beautiful deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and did something that was not his usual style. He sang this song by Lochan Das Thakur before the class. After singing this song, describing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he gazed upon them and went into a state of transcendental ecstasy. His eyes filled with tears, and he could not speak. He only said, "Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they have come. They are so merciful." And meditating on their mercy, seeing people from such a foreign culture, people addicted to so many degraded activities, surrendering their lives to the Lord, was an overwhelming experience for Srila Prabhupada. Because he never ever considered that himself was the doer. He never took credit for anything. He always saw that he was simply the puppet, the wooden puppet dancing in the hands of his guru and Krishna. And how the Lord was attracting so many people's hearts. So at this time, I believe the songbooks have been distributed, and whatever English songbooks are there, please give to the people who speak English. And then we will continue. Everyone has songbooks? Did you distribute all of them?
Paramakaruna pahundu ijan nitai gaura chandra Paramakaruna pahundu vijana nithai gaura chandra. Sada avata sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. Sapa avata sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. Bajo bajo bai chaitanya nithai sudrita vishvasa kori. Bajo bajo bai chaitanya nithai sudrita vishvasa kori. Vishaya chadiya sera se majiya mukhe bolo hari hari. Vishaya chadiya sera se majiya mukhe bolo hari hari. Deko ore bai tribhuvane nai emona doyala datta. Deko ore bai tribhuvane nai emona doyala datta. Pashupaki jure pasana vidare suni jana guna gatha. Pashupaki jure pasana vidare suni jana guna gatha. Samsare majiya rohini podhiya sepade nahi lo asa. Samsare majiya rohini podhiya sepade nahi lo asa. Apana karama bunjaye samana kaho ye lo chandasa. आपना करामा भुंजाए समाना कहो ये लो चंदासा भारम करुणा बहु दुजान निथाए गौर चंद्रा भारम करुणा बहु दुजान निथाए गौर चंद्रा सब अवतार सारस्य रोमानी केवल आनंद कांदा सब अवतार सारस्य रोमानी केवल आनंद कांदा परम करुणा बहु दुईजान निथाए गौर चंद्रा
The two lords, Nithai Gaurachandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduced a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. My dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. But Lochandas, the author, regrets that I am entrapped by sense gratification. Since I have no attraction to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Srila Lochandas Thakur, who was a great disciple of Narahari Sarakar, was born in the district of Katwa in the village of Kogram in West Bengal. His father's name was Kamalakara and his mother Saranandi. He was born in the caste of physicians or Vaidyas. As was the custom at that time in West Bengal, he was married by the arrangement of his parents at a very, very young age. so young that the only possible relationship with his wife is to play childhood games with her. The tradition at the time is that the little girl remains with her parents until both of them are grown up to mature adulthood, and then they live together. So, after marriage, from his childhood, he became deeply attached to hearing about Krishna, and especially Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. By hearing the glories of the Lord, he became so detached from any selfish pursuits in life. He simply wanted to serve. He moved to Srikanda, which was the place of his Guru Maharaj, Narahari Sarakar. And there he was being trained in the science of pure devotional service. And day and night, serving Guru, serving Vaishnavas, hearing from the holy scriptures the glories of the Lord, and continuously tasting the nectar of the Lord's holy names. In this way, he was finding the highest fulfillment of life. After some years, the parents of his wife were wondering where he was. Now the girl is grown up. The boy is grown up. He's taken vows. He has duties to perform. Where is he? They searched him out, and the parents approached Narahari Sarakar, his guru. He said, "What are we to do? Our daughter, she's without a husband. She's married to him. It's his duty to come home. So please, Narahari, please send him to meet his wife. He hasn't seen her in many years." So Narahari Sarakar said, "It is your duty. Go to the village of your good wife and there meet her and perform your household responsibilities." So he went to the village of his wife. But so many years had passed since he had last been there, and he was only a small child. He forgot where their house was. So he happened to see a lady drawing water from a well on the side of the road. And with great respect, he said, "My dear mother, please tell me, where is the house of my in-laws?" And he said their name. She said, "It is this way." So he went to the house. And there he met the parents. And they were very excited. "Our daughter will soon be coming home. She's very eager to see you." "Here is our daughter. She's just now coming in the door." And she came in carrying buckets of water. It happened to be the same lady that gave him directions to the house. Neither he recognized her, nor did she recognize him. But Lochan Das explained, "When we met, in my heart of hearts, I addressed you as mother. Therefore, I have established a relationship with you as my mother. I'll never be able to see you in any other way." So he addressed her as mother. And it was an irreversible stroke of destiny. he treated her with the reverence and veneration of a mother. And after some time passed, the parents told him, better you go back to the ashram of your Guru Maharaj. He was not being naughty, he was just being honest. So he went back to his Guru Maharaj, where he lived the rest of his life. And there, Narahari Sarakar, who was one of the favorite kirtan singers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, he trained Lochan Das in Nam Sankirtan, and also not only taught him the scriptures, but taught him how to express his love and devotion through songs and poetry. Lochan Das became such an advanced, purified saint. Seeing his realizations and his elevated state of consciousness, his Guru Maharaj gave him an order to write the biography of Lord Chaitanya in very simple, accessible, poetic song, so that even the common village people will be so attracted to sing them, and in singing them, they will always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. It is said that in Vrindavan, every day, whatever Krishna did, that evening, the cowherd boys would explain it to the rest of the village. And the gopas and the gopis, they would write beautiful songs, wonderful poetry. And the rest of the day, when Krishna was out in the cowherd pastures, they would simply sing their compositions of what Krishna did the day before to keep their mind always fixed in loving devotion upon the Lord. For the neophyte devotee, singing the songs and remembering Krishna purifies our heart and keeps Krishna within our heart. And for advanced devotees, to sing the glories of the Lord, it is simply the spontaneous expression of our ecstatic love. So for the welfare of humanity and for the great pleasure of the Vaishnav saints, Narahari gave him this instruction. Write in such simple, beautiful language, poetry, songs describing the whole life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So Lochan Das Thakur sat under a tree on a piece of stone and began writing in the bark of trees. And the title of this wonderful composition was Sri Chaitanya Mangal. Because Mangal means auspiciousness. There is nothing more auspicious than remembering Krishna. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur, we know, he also wrote a great book, the original biography of Lord Chaitanya. And he also named it Chaitanya Mangal. So now there were two Chaitanya Mangals. The saints of Vrindavan, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, they met together. And to resolve the confusion, they accepted that Vrindavan Das Thakur was the incarnation of Vyasadev. And just as Vyasadeva wrote the story of Krishna's Leela in the Srimad Bhagavat. We will rename Lord Chaitanya's author's composition as Chaitanya Bhagavat. And from that time, Vrindavan Das Thakur's book is Chaitanya Bhagavat and Lochan Das Chaitanya Mangal. There are some beautiful stories in Sri Chaitanya Mangal. I'd like to share a few. One day Lord Chaitanya was doing Sankirtan through Navadvip with his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat with the devotees and spoke. He said, "This material world is a place where everything is temporary. And the illusory happiness that Maya presents is the goal of life of materialistic people." Then Lord Chaitanya picked up a mango seed and told the devotees, "Everyone watch carefully and see what I will do." He dug a little hole in the ground with his fingers and pushed the mango seed inside and covered it. "Sit and watch. Just watch." Immediately, a little sprout came out of the ground, and that grew into a tree. A full mango tree. Lord Chaitanya said, "Just see now how the mango flowers are beginning to sprout. And now, watch, just keep watching." And right before their eyes, in a matter of seconds, there were full, ripened mangoes covering the tree. It was a great miracle. What usually takes years and years was done in a matter of seconds by the mystical powers of the Lord. And one devotee picked one of the mangoes and presented it to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya, he was intense in his instruction. He said, "Keep watching that tree." It disappeared within a second. Flash, and it was gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "This is how Maya works." We are very much attached to the fruits of our actions. Yes? But they come and they are gone. Maya presents something just long enough for us to become attached to it. And then after we're attached, some time passes and it's gone. Therefore, understanding this principle, do not be attached to the illusory forms of Maya. But yet this attachment is so strong, it goes so deep into our hearts. How is it possible to overcome it? Only by dedicating the fruits of our actions in the service of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita Krishna teaches, "Yat karoshi yad ashnasi, yaj johoshi tatasi yat, yat tapasyasi kontaya, tat kurushum adharapanam." All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away should be done as an offering of love to the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if we simply remain dedicated in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the Lord, and in this spirit try to fix our consciousness upon Him by hearing His glories and chanting His names, very soon, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Parandrisva Nivartate, we experience a higher taste. We experience a divine attachment. Now, we know Lord Chaitanya, during his tour of South India, he gave everyone the same instruction. You do not have to leave your social, occupational, or family responsibilities. You simply have to Krishnaize them. By living a pure life, in proper association, and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. He forbids so many people from leaving their homes or their responsibilities to their family and occupation. Carry on, but do it for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave that instruction to many people. George Harrison of the Beatles. He wanted to surrender his life to Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada told him, just carry on, you're a musician. But try to enlighten people in the world through your fame, through your skills, and through the arts that Krishna has given you. And that he tried to do. So Lord Chaitanya used this mango as an example. If we become attached to the fruit of service to God, the ripened fruit of love of God, then only can we be liberated from the bondage of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and illusion. Otherwise, these are like shackles, chains, ropes that keep us tightly bound. And it's very difficult to escape that bondage. But when we transfer our attachment to Krishna through service, through hearing his glories and chanting his names, through purifying our heart, then everything in our life becomes spiritualized. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is the lesson of the appearing and disappearing mango tree. Lochan Das Thakur, in another place, tells a story of when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Gaya to perform worship of the Lord for the benefit of all of his forefathers and foremothers. At that time, on the way, they came to a village where there is a deity of Krishna named Madhusudan. And Lord Chaitanya saw how everyone in that village were very, very simple-hearted devotees of Krishna. And he was very pleased. Now, some of the Brahmins there, they worshipped Krishna and acted according to their local tradition. Now, the Brahmins who were with Lord Chaitanya, they were coming from Navadvip. Navadvip was a very, very aristocratic city. It was the high seat of learning for the whole of India. The greatest scholars, the greatest pundits, Mishras, Bhattacharyas, they filled up Navadvip. And millions of people from all over the land of India were coming to Navadvip for higher education. So in that sense, it was a very highly cultured place. So some of the Navadvip Brahmins who were traveling with Lord Chaitanya saw the simplicity of these local Brahmins, and they just weren't doing things right according to their calculations. So this one young man, he criticized one of the local Brahmins. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took note of that. And out of his mercy, he wanted to teach that Brahman and all others around him and all people for all time to come a very good lesson. Shall I continue?
No!
Suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down with a burning fever. A dangerous, life-threatening fever. And his students, they didn't know what to do. They were worried. They were beside themselves with fear. How will he survive? They got medicines for him, but none of the medicines worked. They rubbed his head with oils, but his fever was climbing higher and higher. When they didn't know what else to do, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose name was then Gauranga, he informed them of the cure. Bring me water that has washed the feet of a Brahmin. So they called for some Brahmin, and immediately a Brahmin came, a local Brahmin. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested that Brahmin, seeing the condition of the Lord, how can you refuse? He washed his feet and gave the water to Lord. And Gauranga drank that water with great relish, and immediately his fever subsided. Now the particular Brahmin that was offensive to one of those local Brahmins, just like this man, realized the lesson the Lord was showing him. That due to my false ego, due to my high education and my aristocratic background, I have criticized another. But now I can see how the Lord loves these devotees so much. And he went and he found that particular Brahmin that he criticized, and he fell at his feet and he said, "You are so dear to the Lord, please forgive my offenses. If you do not forgive my offenses, then I have no standing before God." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. And then he told the devotees that because these Brahmins are worshippers of Lord Madhusudan, Krishna, they are very dear to Krishna. Anyone who worships Krishna with devotion is Brahmin or better. But a person born in a Brahmin family, even if he lives by very high cultured standards, if he doesn't have love and devotion to Krishna, then he's lower than a chandala, a so-called outcast that does. Aho bata swapacho togariyam. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, just see the glories of Krishna's holy names. Even a so-called outcast who chants the holy names of the Lord sincerely, that person not only becomes purified and liberated, but has the power to liberate the whole world by his purity or her purity. But even a person who's born in a Brahmin family, who has all the 25 qualifications of a Brahmin, if that person is not a devotee, is not chanting God's names, cannot deliver even him or herself, what to speak of anyone else. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this wonderful pastime of Lochan Das Thakur, taught us that not only did the Lord show the world the importance of respecting saintly people, even if they're very simple, even if they're very common, a person who has faith must be respected. But he also taught how much he personally finds the greatest satisfaction by submitting himself to a subordinate position to his devotees to wash their feet and drink that water. We'll sing one song and then I'll continue with another story. Akrodha Paramananda. The noble Lord Nityananda Rai is never angry, for he is the personification of supreme transcendental bliss. Devoid of any concept of false ego, Nitai wanders about the town, going from door to door in the residences of the most fallen and wretched souls. He freely distributes the gift of Harinam Mahamantra. He exclaims to whomever he sees while holding straw between his teeth, "Please purchase me by worshipping Gaur Hari." Saying thus, Nityananda Prabhu rolls about on the ground, appearing like a golden mountain tumbling in the dust. Lochan Das says, whoever has not experienced the awakening of affection for the Lord, that person simply comes and goes uselessly in the cycle of repeated birth and death. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Abhimana Sunya Nitai Nagare Bedai. Abhimana sunya nite nagare bedai. Adama patita jive dwari dwari giya. Adama patita jive dwari dwari giya. Hari Nama Maha Mantra Deno Bilaiya. Hari Nama Maha Mantra Ma. Hari Nama Maha Mantra Deno Bilaiya. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Abhimana Sunya Nite Nagare Bedai. Abhimana Sunya Nite Nagare Bedai. Kari deki kari kohi dante trinadori. Jari deki thari kohi dante trinadori. Amare kiniya loho bajo gorahari. Amare kini aloho bajo gorahari. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Abhimana sunya nite nagare bedai.
Abhimana sunyanite nagade beda. Eto boli nityananda bhumi gali jai. Eto boli nityananda bhumi gali jai. Sonara parvata jeno dula telo thai. Sonara parvata jeno dula telo thai. Akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Abhimana sunya nite nagare beda. Abhimana sunya nite nagare beda. Heno avatari jarati na janilo. Heno avatari jarati na janilo. Lo chandole se papi elo agelo. Lo chandole se papi elo agelo. Akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Everybody, akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Hey, akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Akrora paramananda nityananda rai. Abhimana sunya nitai nagare beda. Abhimana sunya nitai nagare beda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gora Hadibo, 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 Hadibo. Nitai Gora Hadibo, 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 Hadibo. I go from on and it is said that in Sri Chaitanya Mangal, Srila Lochan Das Thakur beautifully described Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in sweet poetry, but did not amplify with much attention
the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So therefore, as a supplement to that great literature, he wrote these beautiful songs in glorification of Nityananda Prabhu. Herein, Lord Nityananda is described as someone who is not angered. He exemplified the principle of tolerance and patience. Even beaten with the threat of death by Madhai, he remained compassionate, willing to be beaten again and again and again if that was what was required to bring the message to his heart, begging the Lord to forgive him and give him pure bhakti. It is this mercy that is our hope and our aspiration to achieve. Lochan Das Thakur writes a story. After Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas, he was traveling with just a few devotees, Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Damodar, and Mukunda, from Shantipur to Jagannath Puri. In those days, India was not one country, so to speak, with a central government. It was many different kingdoms. And in those kingdoms, there were provinces that were more or less controlled by zamindars, or big landholders. And oftentimes, they had the priority to tax you or punish you according to their whims. So Lord Chaitanya and his devotees saw great harassment by a tax collector. He was beating people, imprisoning people, until they gave everything they had. It was very common that dacoits, criminals, were the tax collectors. And they beat you, terrorized you, and took everything you had, and there was no law above them, because they were the lawmakers of that province. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going through one tax gate, there was a line of people, and he saw people being beaten, tortured, imprisoned, horrible. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went before that tax collector and by his mystic power attracted that tax collector's heart to his beauty. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his beautiful golden complexion, his large lotus eyes, his wonderful transcendental form stood before the tax collector. And this person's eyes started crying tears. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then placed his lotus foot on top of the head of the tax collector, and immediately the tax collector's body just started trembling with love of God. He jumped into the air with his arms raised, loudly crying out the holy names of the Lord. He fell at the feet of the Lord and became his devotee. And from that day on, he was Trinadapi Sunichena. He was humble, he was gentle, he offered all respect to others, expected none in return. He was giving in charity to the people who were coming to pay taxes. His life had transformed. A little ways down on the road, they were approaching another tax gate. And Mukunda Dutt, he said to Lord Chaitanya that, "I am not afraid of these tax collectors anymore. My heart is free of all apprehension and fear from them. What can they do to us in your presence?" Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "I am a sannyasi. I do not have anything. So what can these tax collectors take from me?" And besides that, Lord Chaitanya said, "I am always protected by my relatives." He said that patience is my father. Forgiveness is my mother. Peacefulness, even in difficult situations, is my son, is my wife. Peacefulness is my wife. Truthfulness is my son. Kindness, compassion to others is my sister. Control of mind, even in difficult circumstances, is my brother. The earth is my bed. The 10 directions is my clothing. And transcendental knowledge is the food that gives me strength. Lord Chaitanya said, "These are the relatives of one who is on the path of yoga. These are the relatives of one in the renounced order of life. And with the protection of such relatives as this, what can harm us? We have nothing to fear." And with this spirit, they walked to the tax gate. Lord Chaitanya walked through without any problem. But after he passed, the tax collector arrested the other devotees. And he tormented them, especially Mukunda. He put him in chains. And emotionally, verbally tormented him. And took everything they had. All they had was blankets. And after tormenting them in so many ways, when he searched them and saw they had nothing, he cast them away, let them go. Mukunda and the other devotees fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Mukunda said, "I think I was too proud when I spoke to you." He said, "You taught me a good lesson, my lord. You taught me a very, very good lesson." Lord Chaitanya said, "What happened?" And the devotees explained, "The tax collector, they arrested Mukunda. They put him in chains. They were torturing him." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu silently listened. And he said, "Krishna is always there to protect his devotees." That night, Lord Chaitanya appeared in a dream to the chief tax collector, who was in charge of all the other tax collectors. Lord Chaitanya appeared as Lord Narayan, laying on the bed of Anantashesha. And when this tax collector saw him, he was in great reverence. "The Supreme Lord has appeared before me." Then Lord Narayan transformed into the form of a beautiful golden sannyasi. And he said that one of your tax collectors has harassed my devotee. You should do something about this. The dream broke, and the tax collector, knowing that Lord Chaitanya was in his town, immediately ran to Lord Chaitanya and surrendered his life to him. And Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him. And when he embraced him, that tax collector just became so ecstatic. He started crying out, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol!" And Lord Chaitanya gave him an instruction. He said, "Now you constantly chant the names of Krishna. And you always remain humble and gentle toward others. And you should start preaching. You should start a Harinam Sankirtan party throughout the villages of your area and inundate the entire land with the loud chanting of the holy names." Which he did. After that, every morning, he was taking out groups of his tax collectors to chant through the streets and dance through the streets, village after village after village. He transformed thousands and thousands of people's lives just by that few minutes' association with the Lord. But as he was leaving Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda said to him that one of your subordinates took our blankets. We don't have blankets anymore. So the chief tax collector, he bought brand new blankets from his own money and gave it to all the devotees. Arivo. Lochandas Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mangal with a very, very interesting story. There was a Dravidian Brahmin living in the southern provinces of India. He was in abject poverty. He had nothing. He was so hungry that his body was emaciated. There was nothing but skin and bones. And his belly was day and night suffering the burning fire of hunger. And he just couldn't get food to satisfy it. Because of this, he was getting sickly with disease. He was suffering miserably. And because he was so poor, the society considered him such a useless parasite that no one gave him any respect. In fact, his own family rejected him. He had nothing and no one. He couldn't tolerate the suffering. It was too painful to live with. So he decided, "I will give up my life. But the last hope that I have is the mercy of the Lord. And I have heard that the Lord is most mercifully living in Jagannath Puri in his beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. So I will beg Jagannath to give me immense wealth so I can survive in this world." He walked all the way in his very decrepit condition from South India to Jagannath Puri. And when he arrived in Puri, entering into the temple, he stood before Lord Jagannath with folded palms and tears in his eyes, his body trembling in suffering. And he offered a prayer. "Lord Jagannath, due to my past karma, I am suffering miserably. What can I do? I've been rejected by my relatives. I've been rejected by everyone. And I'm starving. Give me wealth. Give me wealth, my Lord. I beg. give me great wealth so I can be happy in this world. And if you don't give me wealth, you will see that I will commit suicide right before your eyes. Then he went out of the temple and he begged for some food and he got just enough to survive. And he came back the next day and demanded from Lord Jagannath, please give me wealth. I'm tired of seeing everybody else with that wealth. I want it myself. I've suffered enough. I will fast for the next 7 days. And if you do not make me a wealthy man at the end of this 7 days, Lord Jagannath, then I will die. Hare Krishna. So he fasted for 7 days. After 3 days, he went back before Lord Jagannath and prayed, you're not giving me anything. Don't you hear what I'm saying? Nothing. You're ignoring me. You're neglecting me. I'm going to kill myself. You just watch. You watch. I will kill myself after 7 days. 7 days passed. And Jagannath didn't speak to him. Jagannath didn't show him any special signs. And he didn't give him anything. So this miserable man came to the conclusion, life is unbearable. It is better to die now. So he went before the sea, and with folded palms, he prayed to the god of the sea, oh dear ocean, please give me a place in your waters today, because I am going to commit suicide. Should I continue? He was walking toward the sea with the intense intent to end his life, when suddenly he saw, emerging from the sea, was a gigantic personality as large as a mountain. Who is this? He came out of the sea and walked on the shore, where his height and size reduced to that of an ordinary person. This man was distracted from his commitment to commit suicide. He was thinking, this must be Lord Jagannath. Who else can just walk out of the sea? So he ran after this man, chased behind him, caught up to him, and said, who are you? Tell me, who are you? And the man turned to him and said, who are you? He said, I'm a Brahmin. He said, so what? He said, I'm suffering miserably. I have no food, nothing. Look at me, I'm emaciated. And I've approached Lord Jagannath to give me wealth, but he's not giving me anything. And the person turned around and said, so what? And the man said, tell me, who are you coming out of the ocean? He said, what is it your business? I am who I am. And the Brahmin, he said, then I'm going to commit suicide. He said, I've prayed to Lord Jagannath to save me. My body is burning with starvation. My relatives have rejected me. The society cares nothing for me. I'm alone and hungry. And I've prayed to the Lord for wealth. Can't you see my piteous condition? Hearing what he said, that mystical personality's heart melted and he became compassionate. He said, "My dear sir, in your condition, the only solution, the only relief to solve your problem is to see the beautiful smiling face of Lord Jagannath." Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was sitting with his devotees discussing Vrindavan. And suddenly Lord Chaitanya stopped and was completely silent. Meanwhile, on the seashore, that mystical person said, "I will tell you who I am. My name is Vibhishan. I am also a Brahmin, the brother of Ravan from Sri Lanka. And I am coming for the darshan of Jagannath. And if you want real wealth, I will bring you before Jagannath and you will see the supreme wealth. Come with me." So Vibhishan was walking and this Brahmin was just running behind him. And they came to the Totogopinath temple, where Lord Chaitanya was sitting with his devotees. The door knocked. Lord Chaitanya told Govinda, "Please, see who is at the door." Govinda came. He saw two Brahmins, and he brought them in. Vibhishan, who was in the guise of a simple Brahmin, he sat right beside Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya and he embraced and started weeping tears. They were both weeping tears of affection for one another. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, "I have not seen you in such a long period of time. I am feeling such immense separation for you. But I am so happy that again we are together." And they embraced and they cried and their limbs were trembling in ecstatic love. And the devotees could not understand, who is this and what is happening? Then Lord Chaitanya told Vibhishan that this other Brahmin, who was sitting a little distance away, and he spoke loud enough so that that Brahmin could hear him. "He's starving. He's suffering from terrible poverty, and he's been rejected by everyone. Why? It is due to his past sins. Whatever comes upon us is due to our own karma. And this fool, he is blaming God for his miseries. That is the condition of people in this world today," Lord Chaitanya said. He said they want to blame God for what they have brought upon themselves. And whatever good they get, whatever successes, they want to take the credit and forget Krishna altogether. Is this not the situation of people in this world? Whatever goes wrong, why is God doing this to me? And whatever goes right, see what I have done. But the pleasures and the pains, the happiness and distress that comes upon us in this world, it is all the reactions of our past karma. We are responsible. But this miserable soul is simply blaming the Lord. Not only blaming the Lord, but he has come to Jagannath Puri to harass Lord Jagannath, to make ultimatums to Lord Jagannath. But I tell you, Vibhishan, you should save him and you should give him immense wealth. Vibhishan said, "Excellent, I will do as you say, my lord." Lord Chaitanya said, "Bring him back to South India and give him great wealth, real wealth." Vibhishan offered his obeisances, and they walked out. And the Brahma walked out with them. That Brahman, he asked Vibhishan, "Who is that? Who is that sannyasi giving you orders, calling you Vibhishan? And that order he gave you, very nice, but who was he giving you that order?" And Vibhishan said, "You are such a fool. That was Lord Jagannath." The Brahman asked, "You told me you were going to bring me to Jagannath, and you just brought me to the sannyasi's house, and you didn't even go to Jagannath's temple at all." He said, "You're a fool. That is Lord Jagannath. He has assumed the beautiful golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to give what no other incarnation has given, pure love of God, the greatest wealth." So the Brahman, he said, "That's Lord Jagannath? So humble, so kind, so mercifully. Please bring me to him. Bring me to him." So Vibhishan came back. And Lord Chaitanya asked, "Why have you returned?" And he said that this Brahman wants to say something to you. And the Brahman, with tears in his eyes, fell at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and surrendered. And said, "I am such a selfish person. I am such a fool. I'm diseased. And I was asking you for a diet of food that was only going to increase the miseries of my disease. And I was not willing to ask you for the proper medicine. You are the supreme physician. I am an ignorant soul. But now I have come to take shelter of your lotus feet and accept the real medicine that you have given." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Whatever your karma may be, don't mind the happiness and distress. Because even if you have wealth, that does not in any way guarantee that you will not suffer as much as a poor man. And even if you're poor, that does not mean you will not enjoy as much as a rich man. That is the way this world is. So tolerate both happiness and distress, which will come by their own arrangement. And fix your mind on the Lord and take the medicine of the chanting of the holy name." And you follow in the footsteps of Vibhishan, and he will give you the greatest wealth, the wealth that your heart is longing for. And what is that wealth? The Purushartha Siromani, the greatest of all treasures, the treasure of love of God, Krishna Prema. This is the concluding message of Srila Lochandas Thakur. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now let us celebrate the auspicious occasion with Sri Harinam Sankirtan.